Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
So we kick off tonight's Open House with our monthly segment, Ask Anything. Pastor Dale Stevenson from the Crossway Church in Melbourne has put himself out there for any and all questions. He's a brave man. He's done so well so far. To anyone who'd listen, people without faith, but also people with faith, his challenge is ask anything about that faith, life, or even culture. So over to you. Ask anything, open to all comers, putting Dale to the big test again. Give us a call on 1300 40 2020 is the question you've always wondered about with Christian faith or the Bible. Tonight's your night. Fire away on 1300 40 2020. Dale Stevenson, welcome back.
G'day, Lee. How are you?
Fine, mate. Do you get a bit nervous with this? I just was thinking as I was introducing, I think, How does he feel about this? I do, actually,
because you never know where it's going to go. It's a matter of saying, well, you know, let's just see how we go and we'll take it one step at a time.
As I said, you've done so well so far. First question, should we condemn other people for their beliefs if they are wrong?
Just straight up, you know what it says? That there's the most famous verse from the Bible says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
That's John 3:16. Best known verse in the Bible, apparently. The very next verse says, for God didn't send the son into the world to judge the world, but the world should be saved through him. So the whole idea of feeling the need to condemn people, I don't resonate well with kind of the those who might be inclined to want to judge other people. I'm far more inclined to kind of an open and transparent engagement.
Yep.
I think that's just, you know, we need to treat everyone with respect. We need to listen well. You know, there's another verse from the Bible where it speaks about, you know, always being ready to give an answer to those who might ask you about the hope that you have. But it tail ends it with, do it with gentleness and respect.
Christian community hasn't been good at that in the past.
I think that's probably a reasonable statement to make. And again, those kind of generalizations can be a little dangerous. But we have in quarters been a little more inclined to want to jump at people. I think Jesus is a wonderful person to kind of hold up, to introduce people to. He does an amazing job all by himself if we just kind of open the door and let people kind of see what he's really like. But I don't think the pathway to that point is kind of about judging and condemning people, rather than introduce people to him and let him do his good work in their hearts.
I also think it's a healthy measure to imagine if it was us who was being engaged with or condemned from another person of faith. It's hardly going to win me over, is it?
Absolutely. Look, in reality, any time a person feels like they've been got at, you know, someone's having a go at them and they're judging them, it doesn't tend to blossom us or open us up to listen. It tends to close us.
Yes.
So even if a person is, you know, trying to help a person to open up, you don't help them to open up by condemning them. You help them to open up by loving them. And, you know, Jesus said it was the second greatest command, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. So love has a wonderful blossoming effect, and condemning has a tend to clam us up.
Yep, can't help you but draw it to you. Dale, Wendy has called in from Adelaide. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for your call.
Hi.
What's your question for Dale?
I've been having all sorts of ups and downsies, and everything did go wrong. And that included my radio. I could not get any other radio station but your own.
Oh, well, that's no bad thing.
And with that came some words I really needed to hear.
That's interesting.
I'd been feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah.
And the words I heard on the radio were absolutely inspiring. Now, I believe that's Christ stepping in and saying, hello, girly, pull it together.
Do you remember what the words were, Wendy?
Oh, yes. It was about a lady who had only three hairs, and then two, and then one, and then none.
Hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, I understand she was seeing things, and that's what I needed to do. Instead of worrying about the TV blowing up and things going wrong and all sorts of igglies.
What did it say to you about what needs to occupy your mind more, Wendy?
Well, I have abilities that I hadn't been using, and I'd been feeling sorry for myself, and I didn't need to be.
Yeah.
Because I had a new home, a new fresh start, And I believe that was Christ stepping in, giving me a wake-up call.
What's the difference it's made to your life, Wendy?
Oh, well, I'm at peace. I sleep better. I have a lot of health issues. I'm not in so much pain now. Better understanding of why... I don't have a lot of luck with people at the best of times, but I was getting cross. I'm not cross anymore.
Good on you. Dale, do you have anything to say in response to Wendy?
I tell you what, as Wendy's sharing there, I'm thinking of a verse in the Bible where God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And I think we all need to have that sense of a future and a hope. You know, there's always a tomorrow and there's a today as well that needs to be lived in. I think of Jesus' words where he said, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come that you can have life and have life abundantly. And you know, knowing him and knowing that there's a purpose for my life, mm-hmm. there's a reason for me to live, you know, I can enjoy every breath, I can smell every flower, I can feel the sunshine on my face. Another verse that comes to mind from the Bible where it says, it's Ephesians 2:10, where it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You know, so that sense that, hey, there's a reason for me to live, and I can do a lot of good with my life, and I can know and be in relationship with God, and I can know and be in relationship with other people, and life is to be lived. And so when Wendy's, speaking there about a blossoming effect, we were talking about blossoming just before, and it sounds like, you know, something was opened up in Wendy there that was good and wonderful, and I'd just celebrate that with Wendy.
Sounds like great wisdom for you to go away and think about, Wendy. Thank you so much indeed for your call. Good on you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dale, it leads me to a question that I've just thought. What do you say about God intervening like that in someone's life?
Mm. Look, that's a profoundly subjective thing, and I've certainly experienced that in my own life in lots of different ways. But we tend to be the kind of the great interpreters of that ourselves.
Yes.
Although sometimes it's a little bit more obvious. And if I can tell a really quick lightning story, I'm now the pastor of Crossway Church in Melbourne.
Great church.
I think it's a fantastic church. I love this church.
Yeah.
But when they were initially speaking to me about the potential of being the pastor. And we said, hey, we'd like to pray and chat to our kids about this. And so we told our kids on a Sunday and said, hey, this church is chatting to us about this. We want to pray and we want to ask God to show us what he wants to do. Well, you know, 24 hours later, a lady, a friend, arrived at our home right on tea time, uninvited. And she said, you know, please forgive me. I'll only be a minute. She said, I went to the most amazing church yesterday. It's called Crossway Baptist Church. Have you heard of it? We said, yeah, we've heard of that church. She said, well, while I was there, God spoke to my heart and said, get as much information about this church as you can and take it to the Stevenson family. And she pulls out a bag and she tips every brochure from the foyer that she could find.
Nice.
She even bought the CD, the message. She gave us a verbal report. You should have seen the kids' eyes. They were really open wide. And then when she finished doing all that, she said, there you go, I've done what God told me to
do.
And she left. Anyway, as soon as she walked out the door, one of my kids said to me, did you set that up? And I said, I had nothing to do with that whatsoever.
I was just going to say, what a great thing for your kids to work through and see, actually.
Yeah, a real faith builder for them.
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. If you'd like to join the conversation, throw anything at Dale. 1-300-40-2020 is the number. Or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. Next question, Dale.
Yep.
Why won't living a good moral life make me acceptable to God?
Okay, that's a really profound question, a very searching question. First, it's really important to acknowledge that in the Bible it says, with regards to God's attitude to humanity, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So God is actually for people. He's not against people. In fact, he is so for people that he actually intervened in our situation because he realized that humanity had a bit of a problem. We're rebels at heart. Well, and maybe it's more accessible to people to put it this way. No one is perfect, God is, and it sets up a gap between us and God. We do things, we say things, we think things. Sometimes we don't do the really great things we should be doing, and the Bible speaks about this gap that gets established between us and God. But God loved us so much, he said, I'm just not going to leave humanity kind of in that situation. And hence the whole point of Jesus coming, teaching, giving his examples, ultimately when he died on the cross, it wasn't just kind of an unfortunate death. It was actually quite purposeful, where he paid a price so that we could be forgiven. Now, the whole scenario of why can't I just be good enough all by myself? And the Bible simply speaks very candidly about that, where it says our most righteous deeds are like filthy rags before a holy God. Now, it's not that our righteous deeds, you know, being a really good person isn't good. Like, it's great being a good person. And people are very generous, and people can be very kind, incredibly loving. But the one thing the Bible does say with regards to all of us is even the most wonderful and noble person still actually needs to be forgiven because we're not perfect. And, yeah. And God loves us enough to have Jesus kind of do the ultimate sacrifice. You know,
Sorry, keep going.
We saw it on Anzac Day. A greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friend. That's actually a Bible quote, and speaking about Jesus. Well, and we use it, and we use it quite rightly to celebrate the sacrifice of Anzac Day, but the ultimate sacrifice was Jesus and him giving his life for us. So that even the good people, the wonderful people, can be forgiven as well.
The tricky thing is that God does want us to live a good moral life.
Yes.
So it's tricky because it can very easily become our justification for being fixed up with him.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm yet to meet a person who hasn't concluded that they are good. Everyone can find somebody worse than themselves to compare themselves to. Look, you know, I'm basically a good person. Like, I've never murdered or raped anyone. I've heard people say that. And I've said to them, well, you're not setting the bar very high, are you?
Yes, that's a good point. Yes.
And, you know, everyone thinks they're a good person, but the affirmation of the Bible is we do need to be forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's kind of core of God's demonstration of how much he loves us.
Okay, here's Helen from Campbelltown. She's called in from Sydney. Hi, Helen.
Yes, hello, Dale.
Thanks very much for your call. What would you like to ask,
Dale? I don't know how you know so much, Dale, but I've got a really hard question for you. And Lee, feel free to help him out because it is a difficult one.
Yeah.
It's actually more of a history question.
Okay.
Now, this might sound dumb, but why do we have to read the Bible daily? Everyone encourages you to read the Bible daily when New Testament Christians never really got a chance to have the Bible in their hands and read it daily, like the common people or the masses.
That's a good
question. Tyndale was one of the first ones to translate it for the common people.
That's a good question, because the early church had the Old Testament. That was their only Bible, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, people never had it in their hands. And, you know, you often hear commentators say it's absolutely essential that we read the Bible daily for ourselves.
Good question.
If God's will was done for 1,500 years without people having that, you know, that opportunity, then why is it so important that we now, 1,500 years later, when you think 500 years is not really a long time in New Testament Christian time.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Helen, I don't think I'm going to have to help Dale at all. That's a good question. Well asked.
It's a fantastic question. And really, built into the core of the question is actually how we manifest or how we demonstrate a relationship with God and what it looks like to relate to him and for him to speak to us. You know, as Jesus who said, man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that falls from the mouth of God. Or embedded in the Old Testament, which the New Testament Christians did have access to, was where God spoke to Joshua and encouraged him to meditate on the word day and night, in fact. And there's lots of injunctions like that, even embedded in the Old Testament, this encouragement to kind of to engage. Now, in reality, the primary issue kind of behind that whole deal is what does it look like for me to relate to God? What does it look like for me to understand his will and ways? What is it like for me to come to know him increasingly and to experience him? So his primary way of speaking to us is through his word. So the Christian faith is actually a revealed faith, primarily revealed through the person of Jesus, and then God choosing to reveal his will through the documentation of those who walked with Jesus, knew him and loved him. So all of the New Testament is either written or backed by one of the apostles who was with Jesus. And so, you know, the primary call, you know, come pick it up and read it every day, really is a call to being in relationship with God. And if I was going to kind of stretch it in a slightly different direction, I'd actually say to Christians or to anyone, what are you going to do with what you read? It's one thing to kind of have a look at it and read it and say see what the words are saying.
That's a good point.
The real challenge is, what are you going to do with what you read?
Yeah.
And because the contents have changed people's lives. You know, God himself has changed people's lives for 2 millennia and more. And I think that's a great challenge.
Helen, thank you so much indeed for your call. Quick last one from Beck, but it's a hugely important issue. Beck, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Rung in from Melbourne. Fine, thanks for your call. What would you like to ask Dale?
Yeah, my question is in relation to the Sabbath and how different churches have different beliefs about which day the Sabbath is. And just the whole concept of, you know, I know some people get very fixed on, you know, there's an importance with the day that is chosen with the Sabbath. And, you know, when I asked someone this week, they said, oh, well, which day do you worship on? That's the major difference between cultures. But, like, people should worship God every day of every minute. So it really avoided the question. But with the Sabbath, is it really important and crucial in a Christian walk with God, which day between Saturday and Sunday it
is? Good question. Great question. Mm. Thanks, Dale. Beck, Dale, what would you say?
Yeah, Beck, I hear the words of Jesus where he said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. That is, that the Sabbath serves humanity, that God has designed us in such a way that it's essential for us to take a day a week where we rest, we connect with him, and we connect with others. That's the point of the Sabbath, that kind of the way he's created us is that we actually need to turn our engines off and to know him and enjoy him and to enjoy others. Now, personally, I don't think which day of the week that takes place. So, as I'm a senior pastor of a church, I would just want to put my hand up and say, Sunday is not a day of rest for me. I work my butt off on a Sunday.
So do I.
And so in reality, now the reality of a Sabbath is still very important to me. And so the fact that I get to unplug and allow my system to recover. And I think it's just part of God's incredible blessing to us that he doesn't want us to work ourselves to death. He says, look, it's important to unplug, to know him and experience him, and to love those who are around us, and to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually restored in that process. So probably the quick answer that's being sought, Beck, do I think which day that happens on matters to God? No, I don't think that matters. It is made for you, not you for it.
But you got to do it too. Dale,
that's important.
Beck, thanks very much indeed for calling. Dale from Melbourne's Crossway Church, Dale Stevenson, thank you so much indeed. You've done another great job, mate. Relax.
Thank you, Lee.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.